Friday edition of Bickley and Murata here at 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. It's an exciting time to be a fan of the Phoenix Suns. How long has it been since we said that?
It's been a while.
They win the draft lottery. They've got the number one overall pick. Now the evaluation kicks into high gear who that pick will be. They won the draft lottery in Chicago, the NBA draft combine going on in Chicago, and joining us from the Windy City on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line from AZ Central Sports, Scott Bordeaux, our guest. Hey, Scott, how are you?
Hey, guys, how are you doing?
Good. What was your impression of day one of the combine? Exciting stuff, right?
It's a bit of a zoo. I mean, there are... It's interesting here. They have this media workroom, and then they bring the players in for interviews all throughout the day, and the players sit at these really, really small tables. And you guys know, if you cover any bowl games, and Dan has a lot, they have podiums where the players are at. Mm-hmm. Well, here they have these very small tables, and any of the star players gets surrounded by about 40 media immediately. So it's a complete zoo. But everybody and anybody from the NBA is here. I mean, any executive, coach, GM you want to talk to, they're all here and available. So it's a... it's kind of a cool place to be for the week.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, obviously, since winning the draft lottery, everybody in Phoenix has begun debating, talking about DeAndre Ayton, Luka Doncic. You were able to sit down with Ryan McDonough yesterday and have and get some early thoughts. Can you share those with us, Scott?
Yeah, you know, I asked Ryan for a scouting report on both guys, and, you know, he let's start with Doncic. He thinks Doncic is going to be a really good player in this league. Talked about his ability to see the court, his passing vision, you know, and how big he is, and that'll surprise a lot of people. He says physically he's like Joe Johnson, who is, as you guys know, is a really sturdy, thick, muscular player, and I think there's a perception out there that Doncic isn't that big, but he's, you know, 6'8", 220, and really well built. He thinks he fits perfectly in today's NBA, where he can, you know, play multiple positions, handle the ball, defend a couple positions, so he really likes Doncic. But he also described DeAndre Ayton as a guy who just has, I'm trying to think of the words he used, just an absolute beast as a physical specimen. Can do so many things offensively for a big man, run the floor. I think Ryan thinks that he's a guy that can come in and immediately go 18-10 his first year with a couple blocks a game. I don't know which way they're going to go. I don't think they've made a decision yet, but just based on a lot of my conversations here, on and off the record, I'd be really surprised if Ayton wasn't the pick at this point. Now, that can change in the next 5 weeks,
yeah,
but that's just what I believe now.
Scott, going back to Doncic, he made some news with his comments yesterday heading into the EuroLeague semifinals this weekend that he doesn't know if it's going to be his last two games over in Europe. Everybody kind of took that as a perceived slight to the Sacramento Kings, who have the number two overall pick. Bick and I kind of debated it yesterday. I saw Ryan McDonough's quotes, and he kind of softened the quotes, or at least his interpretation softened maybe what Luka Doncic said. What do those quotes tell you? What did you think when you read what Luka Doncic said?
Well, his agent came out today, Bill Duffy, and said that had nothing to do with Sacramento. And, you know, he kind of reiterated what Ryan McDonough said, that you know, that Luka just does not want to be talking about the NBA while he's in the Final Four of the EuroLeague right now and with games this weekend. Now, when Ryan said that to me, I said to him, well, why couldn't he have just said, I don't want to talk about the NBA right now? You know, right. He didn't say that. He said, well, these might not be my two final games, but we are talking about a 19-year-old kid. Maybe didn't say it the right way. There is a perception here at the Combine that this is leverage because he doesn't want to go to Sacramento. I don't know if Ryan believes that. I don't know if I believe that. I just find it hard to believe he wouldn't come out. He's going to be a top two, at the worst, a top three pick. Mm-hmm. You can't guarantee even next year what city you're going to go to, so why would you wait?
Yeah, that's well said. Now, I'm curious, from your vantage point, now, being at the NBA Combine, and like you said, it's kind of a zoo, and it's not as big as the NBA or the NFL Combine, clearly. But in your opinion, what can conceivably happen in the next 4 weeks that might change this narrative? I know Luka Doncic playing in the EuroLeague Final Four this weekend, if he owns that thing, maybe that lifts him a little bit. But how much deviation in conventional thought do you think can happen in the next 4 weeks?
Hey, could you say, I'm sorry, say the last part again, you were just breaking up.
Yeah, how much can change in terms of these personal narratives of these players in the next 4 weeks? Because that's one of the hallmarks of the NFL draft. Everything seems to change and opinions seem to get tweaked along the way. What can we expect in the next 4 weeks in terms of these two guys?
Yeah, I don't know if a whole lot is going to change. I think the only way it would change for Luke, and Ryan McDonough mentioned this to me yesterday, if he goes out and just dominates the next two games and just looks so good in this Final Four in the EuroLeague, and as he continues in the next month playing in Europe, if he just looks like a guy that's going to be a superstar in this league, maybe you vault him to number one. I don't know if there's anything DeAndre Ayton can do to diminish his draft status, unless he just comes off as an absolute jerk in private interviews with teams. And from everything I've been told, that's not who he is, that he's a really good kid, a funny kid who's going to come across really well. I can't imagine he's going to diminish his draft status. I think the one guy whose narrative could change a little bit might be Mohamed Bamba, the center from Texas. I mean, he measured in here with a wingspan of 7'10", which is the largest in NBA history. If he can come into workouts, and everybody knows he's going to be a defensive presence around the rim, kind of a Rudy Gobert type, where he can block three or four shots a game and alter a lot of others. But if he can come in and prove that he can also shoot the three-pointer and be effective in terms of spacing the floor, maybe he elevates his draft status where he moves into the top two. You know, when I asked Ryan McDonough about Ayton and Doncic yesterday, he made sure to specifically mention that guys like, you know, Marvin Bagley III and Mohamed Bamba were going to be a consideration for the number one pick. Now, I don't know if I believe that, but could that perception change in the next 5 weeks if say, Bamba really impresses in workouts? Possibly.
Scott Bordeaux, AZ Central Sports, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Going back to Tuesday, Scott, the actual experience of the draft lottery, you know, the Suns had their party. It was bedlam down there. There was a lot of really happy people throwing confetti when they won. I know you had a different experience with it. Tell us what your experience with the lottery was this year, because I'm kind of fascinated by the whole process.
Well, you know, the lottery everybody sees on TV isn't the real lottery.
Yeah.
That's just the results of the lottery. The lottery takes place about 90 minutes earlier in a much smaller room that this year was two floors above where the televised lottery took place. And I was one of nine reporters allowed behind the scenes to watch the actual lottery take place. And there's none of the pomp and circumstance. There's no commercial breaks. The whole thing takes about 10 minutes. And when you go into the room, the NBA confiscates all your electronic equipment. They took my phone. If you have an Apple Watch, they'll take that. Because once you're sequestered in that room, you cannot get out until the results are announced on TV. Because, you know, I knew that Phoenix had the number one pick about an hour before anybody else in the Valley did. And the last thing they want is me bursting from that room and tweeting on my phone. So, you know, it takes about 10 minutes. And then you just sit in that room waiting for the televised lottery portion to take place. For me, it was interminable. Because, you know, I know the Suns have the number one pick. I want to get on my phone. I want to tweet. I want to write a story. I need to call my bosses. There's a million things for me to do. I can't do any of it because I'm stuck in that room. So it was kind of a really interesting experience.
Wow. That's cool. All right. From your vantage point, Scott, and we've talked about this a lot on air, obviously, but tell us your perspective on how winning that draft lottery has sort of reinvigorated a fan base that has come to feel persecuted and come to feel that luck never has turned their way in the past.
Well, I mean, I think, and I don't know if, you know, could this be a metaphorical turning point for the franchise? I think in some ways it is. I mean, because, look, Suns fans have been waiting for this day for a long time. And for the last 3 years, especially when the Suns have begun this rebuild and been tanking, this has been the day they've been waiting for, a chance to get the number one pick and to draft a franchise player. And now that time is here. So, you know, and there are two potentially franchise players, maybe more, in this draft. So, yeah, I think this can be a turning point for the franchise, both in terms of perception among fans in the Valley and then, more importantly, results on the court. I mean, let's say they draft DeAndre Ayton and he's the monster in the post that everybody thinks he's going to be. You know, how good is this team going to be going forward with Ayton, Booker, and Josh Jackson as your big three? I mean, you know, every great team needs three elite players, and the Suns, if Ayton pans out and Jackson looked pretty good the second half of his first year, the Suns can say that they have their big three. So I think right now it is a turning point in terms of perception, and if Ayton, Doncic, or somebody else really pans out as the number one point, a turning point in terms of the results on the court the next few years.
All right, Scott, really important question before we let you go. In that time that you were sequestered in that room before the televised portion of the lottery, does the league just they spring for a good food and drink spread? I mean, how do they keep you busy there?
Yeah, they did have food and drink, but I had eaten beforehand, so I didn't partake in that. But that's what Jim Pittman was there from the Suns, the executive vice president, and he and I just shot the breeze while he ate some pasta. I mean, that's all you do. You just sit and wait. It's the weirdest thing because the lottery's done. You know the picks, and you literally cannot leave, and there's not a whole lot to do in there. So you just sit and shoot the breeze with executives and wait for the doors to open again in an hour.
Yeah, remember, it's all about the show. It's all about the TV. They control everything. Scott, thanks for the time and the insight. Really appreciate it.
Anytime, guys.
All right, Scott Bordeaux, AZ Central Sports, beat writer for the Phoenix Suns, joined us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. That's CoulterTempe.com, CoulterOnCamelback.com, and Coulter.